I'll get secretary chief of the legal line up to it.
Can't be getting a new sugya, but the new sugya is picking up on the braisa of Rabbi Chiya. And even though the Gemara quoted our Mishnah and the Brice of Rabbi Aisha and the Brice of Rabbi Chiya about the 4 of us a Zika and the 13 of us a Zika and the 24 of us a Zika, and the Gemara just says, this never has enough, we're just looking for more. So the Gemara says, wait a second, there's another Mazik that really, really should have been on the list. So the Gemara says that obviously Rabbi Chiya was excluding something. Rabbi Chiya didn't have something up his sleeve that he was not mentioning, then he shouldn't have said a number. The number always has the connotation, at kan velo yoser. So what is that magic 25, 26? What are the other mazikin that Rabbi Chiya didn't want to talk about? The Gemara says one of them was Moiser. What's that Moiser? Moiser is if somebody hands over their fellow Jew's property to a goy, to a non-Jew, and the non-Jew is going to take advantage, going to take it, he's going to steal it, then the Moiser is chayef to pay. So we'll have to talk about why is the Moiser chayef to pay, but the assumption, the Gemara's question is the Moiser is chayef to pay for that act. And that should have been on the list. That should have been number 25. Mute Moshe. So the Gemara says, you're right, that's what Rabbi Chiya had in mind not to mention. As he said 24, Atkan, he's not interested in mentioning 25. The Gemara says, but why not? What's wrong with Moshe? Ela Moshe my time elotani? Says the Gemara, Shani Moshe the Dibur Biyam, the Dibur Elokamayri, that all the 24 are Moshe Hezek. Whereas Moshe is only a Dibur Biyam, it's just with words alone. I just come to the manager and say, got a nice car, but I go, go take it. So this Dibur Bialma, even though the din is in Chayshim Mishpat, I am going to be responsible. I am going to have to pay. But since it's just Dibur Bialma, therefore, for stylistic, for literary reasons, it doesn't make it onto the list of Rabbi Chiya, but it's no less of a Chiyav than the other 24 that are mentioned Rabbi Chiya. So Ad Ken Dibur Gemara. So Gemara, a good Kasha. It should have been on the list. Gemara is a good Teretz. Why it's not on the list? Okay. So we have to analyze this, forget about from a literary point of view, from a textual point of view, just Api Alocha. Is Moshe really chayev? I mean, there's no question that if the Gemara is tippling about Rabbi Chiya listing it as one of the potential 25th mazik, then obviously the Gemara is assuming that it's chayev. So what is the din? Is it really chayev? And I don't have the sheets where the... You have no sheets for the sugi? So is Moshe really chayev? So Tosfos Tzibedi makes reference to a sugi that appears on Daf Kuf Tes Zayin in Bava Kamma, where the Gemara is pretty clear that it is chayev. The Gemara actually tells a story. The Gemara says, "How gaver the achvei akaya the chiti the beirish galusa." That some no goodnik was showed a pile of grain that belonged to the beirish galusa. Galusa was Jew. He showed it to a guy. Also, and the guy went ahead and they confiscated it. Again, the guy, the poor beirish galusa. The beirish galusa was in a pretty powerful position, but he's not entitled to get his money taken away. So the guy went ahead and they stole all his crops. So now the person, the people from beirish galusa, they were furious. So also the Kavadir of Nachman, they came to Rav Nachman, Chayv of Nachman, Shalumi, Rav Nachman Paskin, that the Moshe, the person who handed over the property, the person who, he didn't physically hand it over, he just pointed and said, go take that guy, go take that expensive crops over there. So Rav Nachman Paskin, he's Chayv to pay. So Yosef Rav Yosef, Echayv, Rav Huna Bechia, Yosef Rav Huna Bechia, Kavadir of Nachman, Omer Rav Huna Bechia, Rav Nachman, Dina Oknosa. So he said to him, what is the nature of your psak? I'm not questioning your psak, but I want to understand why you paskin this way. What is the mechayev? What is the engine that's driving you upset? And he presented two logical possibilities to explain why Rav Nachman said what he said. Dina eiknosa. He said, is it a din? Is it mamish chayev and dini mamish? That's loy state in chashim mishpot, that if I show somebody else's property to a goy, I have to pay. I'm a moiser, it's chayev mamish. Or maybe it was only a kinas. Maybe it was just a special penalty that was instituted. But based on regular rules of the Imamnus, you wouldn't really be chayef to pay. So Rav Nachman brought a Mariah from the Mishnah, and then the Gemara says, who really cares? It's a dinner, it's at the end they have to pay. The Gemara goes on to explain why it's important for us to know whether it's a dinner, whether it's a kinas.
Is dinner coordinated for Mamnus?
That's what it's not? Din sounds like it means that Chiyam Mamnus chayef, and then you chayef also in Imamnus. It's a real Chiyam Mamnus, yeah. So Atkan Divrei HaGemara. So we have a lot of work cut out for us, because at the end of the day, a Moser is Chayev. That's a given, and that's, nobody was questioning Rav Nachman's Psaq. We were just questioning the two possible tracks of the Psaq, either Knas or Din. So we have to do a lot of work on understanding what each of these tracks were, and the relationship between them. We have to understand what we mean by saying it's a knas. We have to understand what we mean potentially what it is as a din. And ultimately, everything is going to come back to Daf Hamed Aleph, why Maisa should or should not have been on the list of Mazikim. We haven't said anything yet, but we're happy to accept questions. Yeah.
What actually happened in the case?
I saw this really good crop, and I really want to get back at the guy who owns that fancy tefillah. So I go to the guy and I say, listen, go get Fuchs got this great stuff in his backyard, so go take it. And the guy goes,
not that the government was going to take something anyways, and they just take
the gun. You want to know, was it April 15th, they were collecting taxes anyway? No, I don't know about that. I don't know, just problem. Who says the government? Well, the government. Some Ganav. So I can't differentiate. So I want to understand. You guys look fascinated. I knew his name. Is that why you're one of them? I only say the people's names when I notice. I even know his first name. Okay, so Rabbi Sai. Well, you are the phantom Rabbi Sai. Okay. Nobody, by the way, just off the record, nobody should be insulted. It is nothing to do with lack of not appreciating, not knowing. I'm just, it's a problem. I haven't yet overcome that problem. It's a problem. I know faces, and I know names, but that fear of the shiluv between the two, someone gets lost in the shuffle. You all look the same to me. All, you know, so, can't you tell? I used to feel very bad about it until once I spoke to Avashar Weiss about it, and he commented to me that he has the same problem. So I said, okay, that's a good thing to have. And he knows a lot about people. He just nods at a lot of people. And he told me that it's whatever it is. Okay. My wife always tells me I have to work on it. She gives me, books to read about, how to remember faces. You know, cause, yeah, I have to think of, like, when you see a face, and you think, oh, this guy looks really, like, he looks like some funny cartoon character or something, and try to think of different mnemonic ways. It never works. Okay, good, back to the story. Okay, who's going to cut that last 10 minutes this year? Meisus Chayev, bottom line is Meisus Chayev, whether it's a knas or whether it's a din. So let's analyze what we mean by the word knas. So Rashi has a startling statement. Almost nobody asked Rashi to say this. Rashi has a startling statement in describing what this knas is. So Rashi says, the iknasa, who the kantir of Nachman, mishum deragil hoya bekach, legamin and minay. Rashi is giving us the background to the story. This is not the first time that we've met this fellow. It's not the first time someone started up with you. Hey, this guy's been around. He's a tough guy. He's a mean guy. He's a ganer. He's been moisim multiple times. So comes Rashi and says, this particular guy is a real manuvel and mushkos. He's been moisim multiple properties to the goyim over the years. So now I understand why Rav Nachman potentially made a knas on him. So that's what the Gemara means when it says knas. Dafka zakt Rashi, mishum deragel bekach. What's the clear implication of Rashi? That al hatzad, that for some reason in din you're not chayv. We don't know why you should not be chayv yet in din, but al hatzad that for some reason din is not going to carry today, we're going to have to fall back to the parish of knas. So knas is going to have to be assessed and judged case by case. We are not always going to meet out this knas. This knas is reserved for the people who are regil and bekach. But a regular guy, just one fine day, Reuven decides to be Moshe Shimon's stuff. So Rashi is implying to us that al atzad it's not din again. If it's din, then it's over. The game's over. But al atzad that it's not din for whatever reason, if it's just going down the route of knas, the knas will not apply under all circumstances. That is the clear implication right now. Again, nobody told Rashi to put in that piece of information, but Rashi felt compelled to do so.
No.
That's not the reason. The tzad that it's knas is presupposing that din is not going to apply here altogether. Al din imamlish, you're not really chayv. I keep on, not mentioning the point. I'm trying to save up the suspense, but the guys are getting really, really, bogged down in that. Why isn't it din? That's what you want to know. That's what you're really asking. What makes it not din? I don't want to say it's not din. They got me. I don't want to say that because I want to save that for later. Okay, so just don't make me say it. Deal?
Sure.
Okay, good. Thank you. Okay. So, al hatzad that it's not din, for whatever deep, dark secret I just may have given away, and the best we can do is knas. Rashi says the knas is not all-encompassing. The knas is not all the time. It's reserved for the very, very few select people who deserve such a penalty. I can't give it Rashi. However, I have reason to believe that there are Rishonim who disagree, and I have reason to believe those Rishonim appear on our daf itself. How do I know that? Because they have a Tosafot in Bava Kamma daf Yemud Aleph. When the Gemara asks the question, let's discuss Moser, and the Gemara has a very, very long discussion. Hey, let's discuss Moser. Why is it Moser on the list? And the Gemara actually has to bother giving you a literary reason why, because it's laced by Moser, it's only a Diba B'Yama, so it's not quite on par with the other 24 Mazikin. So Tosafot on the spot decides to make reference to the Sugya on Daf Kuf Tes Zayin. Zog Tosafot, a very, very small Tosafot. The Tosafot says, Umaisim Ufagil. A few man below burned into the garmi. Tosis just spoiled it for us. Mechayev b'shem knas begozel basra. Tosis, in two lines, references the entire Sugya of Kuftei Zayin and says that you want to know what was the suffix in the Gemara, whether it's din or knas. Tosis puts the name on din. What does din mean? Din of the garmi. Because if you think about it, this is a classic din of the garmi. What does din of the garmi mean? I caused you damage, but it wasn't an outright, clear, blatant ma'aseh. I set up some kind of a situation where indirectly damage happened to you. Who remembers what were some of the examples of Dina de Garmi that we had in the past? It's been so long. Give me a good example of Dina de Garmi. I burn your documents. Now, truth to be told, the actual physical action of damage was about a nickel, the price of a good piece of paper. But that sets into motion a whole chain of events that when you want to try to collect your chov in 6 months from now, and the guy asks, well, show me the shtar, and I say, I don't have it because this ninkumpoo burnt it 6 months ago, you're not going to get your payment. So that's called dina de garmi. You set in chain of events, very, very indirect. Not so indirect, but enough indirect to qualify it as dina de garmi. Now again, I'm not saying garmi chai potter, I don't know yet. I do know, or may, or but I know. We know a little bit about dina de garmi. I said, we know a little bit about it. But says Tosfos, it's the magic word Dina de Garmi that was actually the suffix in the Gemara of Kuf Tes Zayin. When the Gemara posed that question, Amarai posed the question to Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman, Yomadeinu Rabbeinu, why did you make the person Chayim? Is it Din or is it Knas? The tzad that it was Din was a code phrase for saying, i.e., do you Rav Nachman paskin like Rabbi Meir? Do you paskin Dina de Garmi is Chayim? Or do you deny Rabbi Meir and you follow the Rabbanon and the best you can come up with is a Knas? So Tosfos already committed himself to what the suffix of the Gemara was. But now Tosfos goes one step further. Tosfos says, but you see from that Gemara, it doesn't really matter whether you paskin dina de garmi is chayev apotah. At the end of the day, meiser is chayev. Because the Gemara said, oi dina oi knasa. So Tosfos, why is Tosfos referencing that Gemara? Because they're trying to make sense out of Agamar. Agamar says, velesne meiser. Why is it meiser on the list? So Tosfos says, because Moses Chayev, we all know Moses Chayev, no matter how you slice it, Moses Chayev, it's Chayev either al Dina de Garmi, it's Chayev al Kenas, and therefore Tosfos says, Tosfos is sticking that Gemara into the question of Hagemara and saying, because of our knowledge of Kuf Tes Zayin, we can now appreciate the Amoraim's Kasha on the Hamad Aleph, for listening Moser. And then the Gemara goes on its merry way to explain why Moser didn't make it, because it's Dibur, it's not a Mice, and therefore it's just not up to par, stylistically. I don't understand. If Rashi's right, that the tzad in the Gemara of Knas wasn't the real chiyuv all the time. It was once in a blue moon for the one Marusha, Marusha, the maneuver of Mushchas, who does this for a living, he's the one we're going to concern. But a regular person, we're not going to slap him with a Knas. I ask you, if you're Rabbi Chiya, and you're writing a list of 24 Nezikin, and you were asked to add on a 25th called Moser, does Moser belong on the list? The Chlona. Any and every other case is across the board chiyuv. Whether they're Isa, they're Abana, whether you think Hezekiah, Nicholas, Chizkir, Reb Yechon, I don't care about that. Shemechinim, Mezochah, Mazik, Chayvel, Bor, Eish, any and every other case of the 24 Nezikin, a chayev every single time. This case, the magical number, that phantom case 25 of Moser, is Takanat Chayev. And once in a blue moon, for the guy who's a regular bakach, we throw a knas, we slap him with a fine. But that's not an avnezikin. That's not on the, shouldn't be on the list. So why does Tosfos read into the Gemara's kasha? Oh, because we all know that Yechayev, Demi tam din, Demi kam knas. Zemin for the what conclusion can we make according to Tosfos? That Tosfos learned sad in the Gemara's knasas, meaning what? Knas means a what? Means always. Means an absolute across the board. Knas, chayk v'layavah. even according to the Mandiyama, that Dina de Gamig is generally speaking potter, but this particular case of Dina de Gamig, namely a Moshe, is so horrible, so terrible what you just did, that Chazal made it takonis rachamim to knas on you under all circumstances, not reserved for that one fellow who does it multiple times. It's a knas chayk lo yavar. Now, that's not so bad, because a knas, as long as it's a universal knas, can make the list and should have made the good list. Give me three examples of universal knasos with the Rabbanan that do make the list. What are they? What did Rabbi Chiya had on his list? What? But those are deraisas. That's right, doing the word Rabbanan for good law. What are the three cases that Rabbi Chiya did have on the list? We paskin against Chizkiyah. Remember, Chizkiyah was rejected yesterday. We paskin that Metamid and Menasek are only Chayav Midrabban, Hezek Shenik was Lash Mehezek. And still they made the list. So you see that the reason why those Knossos were eligible for the list is because you're always Chayav. The Metamid and Menasek is not only Chayav if you do this multiple times. If you throw a mouse on somebody's apples even once, we're going to nail you for that. We're going to make you pay for that. So that's, according to Tais, what the Gemara's Kasha was. But listen, Moiser, just as Metamid and Menasek, which we all know is a Knas, but it's a universal Knas, Midrabanan, and that does make the list, so let Moiser make the list also. Bein of Yehol Dina Degami is Chayiv, that it's Zicha should make the list. Bein of Yehol Dina Degami is Poth, which should write to make the list, because Mide Knas, still enough, it's still considered to be a Knas, Ayin Bavakamakuf Tezayin. So for the fact that Tais is stuck in the Agamara, they stuck in the Agamara, a reference to Kuf Tezayin, you see clear from Tosfos that Al Atzad, that you deny Dina Degami, Al Atzad, you're going down the route of Knas. Knas does not just mean Rav Bekach, Knas means Tamir, all the time, every single case, this would be a legitimate Knas. So now we have a Machlekes and Rishayim within the Bach of Knas. Okay, at the end of the day, we may pass the Dina Degami, so this may be irrelevant. We'll see as we go on. This is far from irrelevant. But at least right now, we have to take this tzad. Every tzad of the Gemara. Every Amir had a suffix and a shal or something. So every single nekud of Torah requires bira, requires absolute meticulous observation. So what did that tzad mean? If the Heilige Amirayim is sitting, Rav Nachman is passing the shayla, and the Heilige Amirayim, who are they again? You forgot the names. Who are they? Who are the Heilige Amirayim? Rav Huna Bechiya, Rav Yosef. All the Heilige Amirayim is sitting and discussing Rav Nachman's psak. And they were mistopic. Ken Zayn, it could be that Rav Nachman was coming to his Knas. So boom, Nemachis Rashi and Tais says, what's name Knas? Is Knas Larago Bakach, as they state in Rashi, or is Knas across the board universal, like the clear implication of Tais on Daf Hei? So basically, we have to do a homework on this and try to figure out who's right. Rashi and Tais, could bring any Raias from the Gemara, again, all within this box, Al Atzad, that it's Knas. So, what's the first Gemara that we have to analyze and evaluate in order to appreciate this Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos? Hopefully we're going to have a tour through Bava Kamma right now, and starting with, so uncharacteristic of us, we're going to start where? On the daf we're actually on. So that means, number one, everyone has to have a Gemara, and number two, everyone has to open up the Gemara, and number three, you have to open up to the right page, and you have to know what page we're learning. So we are on Daf Hei Amud Aleph, in case nobody remembers. Okay? I was somebody from a certain yeshiva that's not known for learning very fast. So I saw them during the winter break. I saw someone I didn't know. They were just on the shul. I met them somewhere. They introduced themselves. They were shoes into a little bit about. So they asked me, what we're learning yeshiva, and what daf are on. So I hemmed and hawed a little bit. So I said, we're on daf hei. And I started to explain, apologize why we're still on daf hei. So he said to me, what do you apologize? I said, the yeshiva that I come from, that's like, wow, that's like strife. That's like, well, daf hei, you made it to daf hei. It's only February, you made it to daf hei. They couldn't even believe we made it as far as daf hei. Okay. But soon we're going to be able to brag and say we're in daf tes. So we're going to skip the next four blocks. All right. So, the Kabbalah from Rabbi Willig, he said the best way to cover ground is to skip. Okay, good. So, Rabbi Isai, Ag Gemara and daf hei Amud Aleph is the pivotal Gemara here. What do I mean by that? Who's going to bring me a raya from Agamar? Agamar is a pillay ployim. Why? What does Agamar say? Agamar quotes Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya rattles off 24 mazikin. We're done. We're finished already with 24 mazikin. And frak the Gemara, the list ain't Moiser. And the Amarim are chippering in Rabbi Chiya. And Rabbi Chiya say, and why isn't Moiser on the list? And they have to come up with some tactical reason. Why it's Dibur, it's not Moiser. Who cares? Dibur, not Moiser. Therefore, we don't want to make it on the list. No, what's Kasher by saying? What's the most kasha list name? You say, what? How's Rashi read the Gemara? What do you mean by that? It's a library in the kasha. Means maybe, Rabbi Chiya held what? Maybe Rabbi Chiya didn't hold what? Maybe he denied what? Say two words. Maybe he denied what? Did the Gemi. How in the world do you know Rabbi Chiya's position? Did the Gemi was? Maybe Rabbi Chiya actually held like the Rabban against Rabbi Meir. He denied Dina the Gemi. And therefore, the only possible Mechayah for Moshe would have been Knas. And being a temporary Knas, an individual case-by-case type of a Knas, is not sufficient grounds to make the list. So why did the Gemara jump on Rabbi Chiya and say, how dare Rabbi Chiya leave out Moshe? And the Gemara explained some technical quirk, because it's Diba, Maisa, Chagadja. Why didn't the Gemara just answer very simply? Rabbi Chiya didn't mention Moshe, not because of technical literary reasons. Rabbi Chiya didn't mention Moshe for what kind of reason? For halachic reasons, because he held that Moshe is what? It's Tachapotur. I mean, the guy's a bum, he's a maneuver, he's a Rabushchas, we'll save a lot of Malshinim on him, we wish him the best. But in terms of Adidim Amos, we're not going to hold him responsible. So why did the Gemara chip on Rabbi Chiya? Why did the Gemara come up with such a, almost like a lame answer to that? I mean, I'm lame in a bad way. You know, this is a shvach answer, technical language. Yeah, for literary reasons, it didn't fit the list. The Gemara should have come with some heavy-duty artillery. Halachically, he's potter. So according to Tosfos, I understand exactly the shach v'tayah the Gemara in the family of Aleph, because according to Tosfos, bein l'man yom adin the Gemara chay, bein l'man yom potter, we could still nail you out tichos kenasos, and the kenas is the universal kenas, so the universal kenas should have made the mark, should have made the list, no different than mitamen of them in Asich. But according to Rashi's watered-down version of an individual case-by-case kenas, it wasn't even on the radar, it wasn't even the ballpark to be on Rabbi Chiya's list. That's a pella, that's a good raya, that's a good cash against Rashi. So there's only one way to salvage Rashi, Rabbi Yisrael. What is that? We have to come up with the following piece of information known to be true. And what is that? In order to appreciate the Gemara's kasha, according to Rashi, what piece of information must we prove? That Rabbi Chiya accepts Dina Degarmi. If you can somehow prove to me that Rabbi Chiya accepts Dina Degarmi, then we're good to go. Then the Gemara's kasha is radically different than Tosis. Tosis makes the whole point, the whole fuss of saying that the kasha is bein l'man d'yom adina, bein l'man d'kenosa. Rashi's up, nay, it's not true. Rashi says the Gemara's kasha is not l'man d'yom adina. The Gemara's kasha is only l'man d'yom adina, and I know for a fact already the Amoraim and Daf Hei knew this, they already had this in front of them, this piece of information. They wouldn't have bothered to ask the kasha if they didn't know for certain that Rabbi Chiya accepts Dina D'Gemi. So that is clearly what we must find. We are looking for a proof positive that Rabbi Chiya holds Yechayev B'dili D'Gami. So now we just have a small task in front of us. What's that small task? We just have to find Rabbi Chiya. So we have to look around and search. So we start looking through Brachas, Shabbos, Erevim, Pesachim, Shkolim, Yerushalmis, Rosh Hashanah, Yuma, Sukkot. We'll go through Daf Yomi. We'll go back with Nidah, Chul. Where are we going to go? So the overwhelming odds dictate that we'll probably, if we're looking for it, we'll probably be looking in the right place. And where is that? Good place to look. Maseches Bavakama. Not a bad place to look. And by golly, we're getting warm, we're getting hot. And actually, believe it or not, strangely enough, once in a while, it actually appears where we most expect it to be. Most of the time it's not that way. But here it happens to appear on Daf Tzadi Tes, which happens to be the main sugyo of Dina D'Gami. There is a statement of Rabbi Chiya in that sugya, and actually a story about Rabbi Chiya in that sugya, that proves to us beyond the shadow of a doubt that Rabbi Chiya did in fact accept Dina D'Gami. And once we prove that's true, then we can breathe a sigh of relief in our sugya. Therefore, we're not so disturbed by the kasha, the attack on Rabbi Chiya and our sugya, because the Amoraim were attacked in Daf Hei, knew already Daf Tzadi Tes. They already had Ruach HaKesh. They know what's going to happen 94 plot later. They're like, you know, like the what's it called? When you read a text and you know more than the person who's playing out the text, I never know how to pronounce the word omniscient, something like that. Okay, so where they're Amoraim, where omniscient? They're omniscient. Somebody's omniscient, and they're reading it. Daf Aleph, knowing full well what's going to happen. It hasn't even happened yet in Daf Tzadi Tes, but they know it's about to happen 94 block later. Assuming they yeshiva, they can actually get to Daf Tzadi Tes. Hooray from here that the Amoraim actually got to the end of the Masechta. Hooray, they wrote the Masechta. Okay, so Rabbi say. believe it or not, there was no statement in Chazal anywhere, especially in Daf Tzaditas, that says, Amar Rabbi Chiya, halach kremed, don't do the gemi. That would have been too easy. But you have to read and finagle and medayek and look in between the lines and find where Rabbi Chiya commits himself to Dinan Degami. So who did the homework for us, Rabbi Yisai? Who found, who discovered this Rabbi Chiya? Anyone have any idea? Who said what? Who said, no, I thought I heard somebody say. Somebody said Truman's Krieg? Close. It's not a Truman's Krieg. That was an intelligent guess, correct? But today, this week is the week of Haggos, okay? It's a Haggah on... That would have been really good, yes. You're really doing well, okay? Really doing well. I give an excellent report. So your parents are saying, I give an excellent report. I would have given an even better report if I didn't say that, okay? But I'd say you're not just a great Bach and Yeshiva, you keep the entertainment going level high. Okay. So Rabbi Yisai, his name is Rothbard. Okay. Shocking the guys. Do you notice I only know people who live in Tina? Okay, I'll be rough back. Okay, looking around. He doesn't care. Okay, Mr. Alter, I know him. All right. You stay in Shia for 5 years, usually that earns you the opportunity to meet him, know your name. Okay, so Rabbi Yisai, Chadash Adar, guys, come on, a little lighting up, a little bit, Adarishan, come on. I spoke to the boys on Matzah Shabbos, we have a learning, Abba Subbanim, Shul, Shiva and Tinek. So I posed the shaila to the boys. The boys were like 8, 9 years old. I posed them a shaila. I said, I'm not sure whether Mishnichus Adam Arba Simcha applies to other Rishon or not. So I asked them, what are we supposed to do if we have a Suffolk? We're supposed to be happy with Suffolk or not? I was like, thinking that question. What are you supposed to be? So if you're, Nachman, you're restless, you're Umar, that kind of, they don't even understand the shaila, what's the Suffolk? That you're supposed to be happy the whole year long, but if you're a real hardcore misnaged, that you have to find a heter to be happy. So then, is that called a matir or not? So you have to look and see. It's simcha and odr deraisa derabon, and you could argue that it's a different kabbalah because it says the chodesh is a nepach lem yarim l'simchus. The mishnichus odr ma'ar b'simcha is rooted in kisvei kodesh. It's not just a derabon; it's a din out different kabbalah. So the machlekes are shining whether suffi different kabbalah is l'chum or not. So we're not sure whether that din applies to other rishon. So it's a very, very long to shishailas. You got to really work hard to be able to crack a joke, make a little smile and other risha. So that, the reason why no one wants to be so mekel yet, it's not yet other, it's still less their shvat. So like tonight, b'shkia, you have to be patient to shaila. At least safe maybe, because it's a banish mosha, so it'll be a shaila. Okay, everybody say, back to us, what are we talking about? I have no idea, I don't remember anymore. Rabbi Chir, go back to Rabbi Chir. The Hagor. It's not Hagor on the Shuvah Tzvi, Hagor's on the Shach. Okay, somebody wrote Hagor's on the Shach. Quickly, who wrote Hagos in the Shach? Someone will tell me in the next minute. So, who wrote Hagos in the Shach? I have no idea. Who wrote Hagos in the Shach? Someone will find out. Hagos in the Shach. The Halig Shach. There's a very, very famous Shach about Dina Degami, where the entire Shach is dedicated to one point. It's a very, very famous Shach. It's the entire Shach. We're going to talk about the Shach as the sugya is developed. The entire Shach is dedicated to one point and one point alone. It's to disprove the Ramban's theory about Dina Degami. The entire Ramban's kuntras was to show you that Dina Degami is a what and not a what. It's a Dina, not a Knas. And the Shach responded back, I'm going to write an entire kuntras against the Ramban to show you why Tosfos is right, the other Rishonim is right, why it's Knas of Degami, even though it's called Dina Degami, but it's really fundamentally a Knas. And then the Shach writes that, I decided not to publish, not even to write this kuntras, because what are going to take every single line of the Ramban and argue with every single Nakuda? I'm telling you, my whole Yisrael is that the Ramban is not correct. The whole thing is a Knas, not a Dina. So I'm going to save myself the ink. I'm not going to write an entire Kuntras. I'm just going to write one or two Ha'aras on the Ramban. And then he can proceed to write a 15-page Shach to take issue with the Ramban. Imagine if he would have written the real Sefer that he wanted to write. So comes the Hagos, and then on the Shach, then the Hagos on the Shach. So comes the Hagos on the Shach and says, I'll bring you Raya Brua from the Sugya Daf Tzaditas. Rabbi Chiya is on the team, on the side of Dina Degami. But you need a little bit of a background. And this is a throwback to something that we spoke about earlier, and we're going to hopefully come back to this in the next Sugya, a recurring theme. And that's the following Shaila. I hire somebody to do a job for me, or I request a person to do a job for me, and they mess up. They goof. I ask you to, I asked you to mow my lawn, and you mess up, you destroy the whole soil or something. I asked you to paint my house, and instead of painting it red, you used the wrong color, the whole thing got all messed up. I hire you to shecht an animal, and you go ahead and you turn into a novella. You didn't mean to. You really, really tried. You're not a bad guy, but lemaisa, you messed up, you caused me to have the same moment. So who remembers, what's the name of that sugya, or the three words, tavach, tavach umin shekilkel, right? So basically, the Gemara Daftari test tells us that tavach umin shekilkel, there are two factors that go into pasuk tavach umin shekilkel shana. What are the two factors? Who remembers, l'chazar, what are the two factors? Number one, is he really an umar or not? If he's not an umar, and he's not qualified to be doing the job, so he shouldn't be doing the job, so he's mamash pesheya. So the only, we can only begin to discuss it being putter if he's properly licensed, means he's mamash an umar. And number two, what else does it depend on? Is he getting paid or not? Why? Because then it's a din of shomrim, not a din of mazik. And again, we spoke a lot about this earlier this year, and we're going to come back to this a lot in the next couple of sugyas. So in the middle of that sugya of tavach umin shekilkel, the Gemara talks about almost a subcategory of tavach umin shekilkel, and that's a person who is called upon to assess the value of a coin. This is a very, very common profession in the olden days. Like a bunny changer in a sense. So it's a real mumcha. Why? Because you can imagine coins in the ancient world, it was a free-for-all. So a coin was only worth, basically it was worth its weight in gold or silver or copper, whatever it was, and you had to figure out, is this authentic, is it not authentic, you know, is it really right, is it not right, is this going to be acceptable in the market? So if I'm doing business with somebody, and let's say I'm selling somebody something, and I want to get, the guy's going to pay me back with some silver coin, I'm going to bring in a professional to assess whether this coin is really up to par or not. This is the common phenomenon of Beit Chazal, that people wanted to know. They were bringing some mumcha to look at the coin. So the Gemara says, when you're bringing a mumcha to look at the coin, this sounds like the sugya of tavach umin shekilkel, but it's a little bit different. It's different on two different levels. It's different because the Gemara says the degree of umnus, the degree of professionalism that's necessary to check coins is much, 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 much higher, much, 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 much greater than just the professionalism necessary to shecht an animal. Shechting an animal, say you learn some shechita, you take a wayu, you know, shechita costs something, you play around a little bit with some oif or something, you know, and eventually you learn how to shecht. It doesn't take all that much to learn how to shecht. But to learn how to assess coins properly, that's years and years of study, and you have to mamish be azam mumcha. So the Gemara says the degree of mumchius, the degree, I'm not sure that word exists, but the degree of expertise that's expected of you before you can claim that you weren't pesheya is much higher. So unless you're the real McCoy, someone who really, really, really has perfected that skill, you shouldn't be looking at coins, the Gemara says. Okay, fine. So that's one area where almost quantitatively looking at coins differs a little bit, parts ways a little bit with Tavach Umin Shekilkel in terms of how many diplomas you have to have. The shecht, you need just a little cloth from Reitz that says you know how to shecht, whereas in order to look at coins, you need, you know, your three PhDs from Yale, Harvard, you know, YU, whatever, all your, you know, great institutions that there'll be some new online, you know, graduate degree in looking at coins. In short, you have to really, really be a mumcha sheba mumcha. Okay, good. So that's a technical difference. But then there's another big, big difference between the two. What's the big difference between the two? What's a huge difference, not just quantitative, but halachically qualitative difference between the Tavach Umin Shekilkel and the guy who makes a mistake in assessing the coins? What did the Tavach Umin Shekilkel should do that the other person didn't do? He was not to be a dayim. At the end of the day, the Tavach, he took a knife, he shechted the animal, and he killed it. I mean, literally killed it, and he didn't shecht properly. So he was a mazik be a dayim. Whereas the person who looks at the coins, and he gives the wrong, the wrong impression, gives the wrong rating on the coin, what happens? He didn't do anything physically, but he set into motion a lot. A chain of events that eventually is going to cause a hefsid moment. Because what's going to happen? He brought me the coin, and I made a mistake. And I said, yeah, this coin's gevalt. This is going to be over l'soich. Everyone's going to accept this coin. This is the greatest Roman coin ever printed, ever minted in the history of the Roman Empire. And the guy says, great, that's great. Okay, good. So he sells his entire estate in exchange for this coin. And then when he goes to take this coin and try to turn it into something, he brings it to Rome and thinks he's going to buy the whole what do they sell in Rome? A lot of pizzas. He buys the Colosseum and pizza or whatever they have in Rome. He comes to Rome and they tell him, this is a piece of junk. This is worthless. This is not up to par. So the guy shrank Chai V'Kayim, I sold $1 million worth of property to get this lousy piece of junk. You mazik. So what does the coin booker cook say to him? Ich bin a mazik, excuse me. I was a mazik, be a dayim. What am I? The worst that I am is a what? I'm a dina digami. It's like, what's the dina? The Gemara says, if you paskin dina digami, then you're in trouble. Then you have to pay out dina digami. But if you deny dina digami, you're like the rabbanon. So the guy's not a mazik at all. He's not a mazik b'chlam. Right? He's not the rabbanon. He's not chayef. So the Gemara takes the famous Shabbat Kama in the ninth barak, and tenth barak, that the whole obligation for the person who's roeh as a dinar makes a mistake is all hinging upon dina digami. So again, we have the basic din of tavach umesh kilkel, and then you have the subcategory, the related category of roeh as a dinar, and the roeh as a dinar has some chumras and some kulas. There's chumras that are pointing in the direction to be mechayev you. It's requiring a higher level of expertise. But the big giant kula in your favor, the check in your box in your favor, is that you didn't do a hezek b'yadayim, and the worst we can call you is a dina digami. That's the background. In this light, the Gemara tells a story about Rabbi Chiya. A woman came to Rabbi Chiya and wanted to show him a coin. And Rabbi Chiya, believe it or not, had some knowledge about coins. And the Tosfos points out he had a lot of knowledge about coins. He was a crackerjack. He was an expert in coins. He told him about it. He had a coin course in the afternoon. He knew this stuff called Rabbi Chiya. Not only did he write Brises, was 24 of us, the Zikin Hebrew, the Talmud Muvuk of Rabbi Danos. He was a Gavaldik, a Mayri, the Gemara, the Tabachachm, the Gedele, the Gedele Yalem. The Gemara says, Amalahi Rabbi Chiya, Nishtacha Taim Yisrael. But he also knew how to assess coins properly. And he looked at this coin for this woman, and, like, even the greatest of the great, what did he do? He made a mistake. He might have made a mistake. Not intentionally, he made a mistake. And when he realized afterwards that she got burnt, she lost money because of his mistake, so he reimbursed her. And he made a note, and when Rabbi Gamar, what note did he make? To stay out of this coin-looking business, because there's not a good way to make a parnasa. But he paid her back. So the Gemara says, why did he pay her back? What's the din? He was what? What was he? Api din, what was he? Yeah. He was potter. Why was he potter, the Gemara says? Because what was he? He was an umen shemumdim. He was the best possible guy around. He was an umen shemumdim. And he wasn't getting what? Well, remember, tavach umen shekilkel doesn't get what? Doesn't get paid. He was doing her a tzav, doing her a favor. Does not have to pay. So al pi din, Rabbi Chiya did not have to pay. So why did he pay? To which Gemara says the three magic words. What? Lefnim mishuras adin. He taka did not have to pay, but he paid lefnim mishuras adin. Ad kan divrei Gemara. So comes the Hagor and the Shach and says, I don't understand. Why is the Gemara tippling about Rabbi Chiya having to pay and not having to pay? And the Gemara says he really didn't have to pay because he was an umman, a bakish of a bekiyim. And the Gemara says you're right off of bichini pay because of Rusha did. Why did the Gemara stop and say, wait a second, wait a second, why do you have to pay? Isn't this only what? Garmi, and doesn't everybody know Garmi's potter? Zatman Fundo says the Gaon the Shach, that the Gemara already knew. How the Gemara knew this? I don't know. The Amaroi must have knew Reb Chiya held. So they must have had access to some statement of Rabbi Chiya somewhere that we don't have, that they already knew from the Hoshak Matayan of Tzadik Tath, that the Gemara analyzing Rabbi Chiya's reason, his approach to the Shaila, it's clear as day that Dina Degami was a settled thing. Of course, Yechayev was Dina Degami, because Rabbi Chiya was on the team of Rabbi Meir. Dina Degami is Chayev. Azah, Harifus, Azah, Bekiyas, and Hagor, we're still not sure who it is, on the Shach, to prove to you beyond the shadow of a doubt that Rabbi Chiya personally was on the Din Degami side, being Chayev, and therefore we can breathe easier according to Rashi. Why did the Gemara ask the Kasha for Liste Moiser? So whereas according to Tosfos the Gemara said Liste Moiser Bein Ladina Bein L'Knasa, according to Rashi that Meman of Shach is not correct. If it would have Taka Bein Knasa, it would not have made sense to be on the list. It must be it was Mitam Dina, and it must be that Rabbi Chiya bought into Din Degami. How do you know that? Ayin Bava Kama Daf Tzadik Tes. You put the picture together on Daf Tzadik Tes, you will conclude that Rabbi Chiya Taka accepted Din Degami.
Why was it only Muslim Mishra Sadin?
Well, because he was an Uman. He was an Uman, and he was not getting paid. So remember from the Sugis Bach of Tavach Uman Shekilkel, he's not really a Mazik. Either because it's on his Gomer, like Tosfos holds, or like the Ramban, that it's Bishu, so he has the right to look at it. Remember that? We spoke about the first semester. So Medina, he was Taka Potter.
Even if he
holds the dina gemi, right? But it's not going to be any more chayv than the tavach umesh kilkel mazik b'yadayim mamish. If he's an umman bekach and he's not getting paid, then migra din is potter. So we can breathe baruch Hashem a sigh of relief. We're good to go. So let's move on throughout the mesecta. Continue at 2 through Bava Kama. to try to figure out whether Rashi or Tosis, any rayas to either of these Rishonim. What happened to the Mashiach? Oh.